We're going to speak about the kingdom. We said a few times, and I want to quickly recap and then get on to a few other things about the kingdom. I want to encourage you just to open up your heart and listen to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to you. We're really experiencing that the Lord, if we want to live as sent ones, the purpose that Christ was sent to this earth was his purpose and his aim was the kingdom, to preach the kingdom. Now we said Jesus did not go about preaching the cross or being born again. Now when I say something like that, it feels like, it feels wrong. What heresy is this guy telling? But just hold on a moment. He preached the kingdom, and the cross was the price that Christ paid for us to get into the kingdom. But that was not the end, right? Being born again is not the end, right? Amen? There's a life to be lived in the kingdom. Some of you experienced that this whole notion that people say, and they lived happily ever after. And then we are distraught when we find out that ever after aren't always so happy, right? And we have to figure it out. But who of you have come to know there's a life after marriage? There's a life to be lived when you get married. Amen? The same in the kingdom. I think in the church we have made the gospel of our salvation. And it's not the gospel of our salvation. We live our lives and I see people get saved and like, thank you, Lord Jesus. I can go to heaven and now I can continue with my life as I want it to be. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And I want to get to ownership this morning about the kingdom. And I believe that this is the message. If we want to live as sent ones, this is the message that Jesus has given us. This is the culture that Jesus wants to establish in the church, the kingdom culture. Amen. This is what the Lord is rebuilding, I believe, as we went through Nehemiah and the rebuilding. And there's many aspects to this. But it's something we truly need to understand, the king and his kingdom. And I will give you a why in a moment. But let's run through some scriptures. Are you okay with that? You don't have to turn to it. You can just read along with me. And just remember Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, first seek the kingdom, right? Not a denomination, not a place where I feel comfortable, but a kingdom. Seek my kingdom first. Matthew 10:7 says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Luke 4:43, and the Lord Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. You see, the purpose of Christ was to come and preach the kingdom, live the kingdom, teach the kingdom. If you go and look at Jesus' teaching, it is all about the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of God is like. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom. This is what we inherit. The kingdom. There's more to life in Christ than just making it to heaven, guys. And I want us to taste that and to live that. Amen. He prepared a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom has been prepared long ago. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom. Now this is amazing. The fact that he says, and this gospel. This gospel. He needs to clarify what gospel it is that we must preach to the ends of the earth before the end will come. This gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Who of you have read that there's other gospels going around? And Paul says, curses any man that preach another gospel, right? Than this gospel of the kingdom of God. It's like Jesus knew we would go astray somewhere. So he just clarifies for us, this gospel, this gospel. Luke 12:13, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Acts 1:3, to these he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many convicting proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking to them concerning the things of the kingdom. Jesus came. John the Baptist, in Matthew 3, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus comes on the scene, Matthew 4. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His life, he lives and demonstrates the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. He teaches the kingdom. He lived the kingdom. He dies on the cross. After his resurrection, what does he choose to speak about? The kingdom. I believe we've been taught a lot of stuff. But faith, authority, power, holiness, being consecrated, everything makes sense within the context of the kingdom. And we need this context to understand where faith happens, where power and authority and how this works. Does this make sense to you? Right? A kingdom. What does kingdom mean? What does it mean when we say the kingdom has come near? King meaning a ruler. It is a person. It is Jesus. And dome meaning domain. Almost. It's the ruler of an area or over people or in people. So when we say the kingdom, if Jesus asks us to pray for the kingdom of heaven to come on earth as it is in heaven, what he's saying, may his rulership, as he rules in heaven, may that manifest in your life and through your life. Does that make sense? That is why he says to guys when he delivers them, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. Now you'll see in scripture they use the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven interchangeably. In Matthew you will read the kingdom of heaven. Matthew is written to Jews and they would understand kingdom of heaven better, where Mark, Luke and John written to Gentiles, they will understand the kingdom of God better. It's the same concept, just it's written to a different audience to get the message across to them. Does that make sense to you guys? Now I don't know about you, but I have a lot to learn about the kingdom. And understanding is needed about the kingdom. And I really believe that if we want to get this, we must truly, in all humility and teachability, come before Jesus and ask him to teach us his ways and the ways of the kingdom. Proverbs 23 3-4 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. For us in a season where we are building, the establishment of the kingdom in your life is by ways of understanding it. And as he establishes this, he says, the knowledge of the kingdom will fill the rooms of your life with precious and pleasant heavenly riches. Isn't this amazing? Amen? So understanding is needed in this time for us. And there's a reason why we need understanding. Now, in the scriptures, we read a lot about heaven and earth. Amen? Pieter, kan jy gaan na so slide toe waar ek twee cirkels getrek het? I'm going to try and explain to you something. The Bible Project has a very good explanation about this. And I just want to try and explain this to you. The Bible speaks about heaven and it speaks about earth. Heaven meaning God's space, the space or the domain in which God lives, and earth meaning the domain or the space in which we live, right? Now, we know earth, we understand earth, we see nature, we know a lot about nature, we understand the laws of nature, of gravity and these things. We are accustomed to this earth, we understand this earth, but we don't really understand the space God lives in. Does that make sense to you? We know a lot about this earth, but we don't really understand God's space. Now, the Bible is full of description, it's full of imagery, trying to explain to us and help us to conceive how God's space works and looks like. But who of you know it's completely impossible to, in totality, comprehend how God works and how God's space works. Okay? Now, the Bible uses different terms to describe these two spaces. Earth is described as earth, or this present age, or the world, or the age of sin and death. Amen? Where heaven is explained, and the scripture used different words like heaven or kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, or eternity. Now, in nature, these two spaces are very different, right? God's space, very different than earth's space. But funny enough, the Bible does not separate these two spaces. The Bible doesn't separate these two. In fact, the story of the Bible is about these two spaces starting off together. Can you remember the Garden of Eden? Man and God living together in harmony. And sin came along, and sin separated these two spaces from each other. Right? Are you guys with me? But the story of the Bible was always to reconcile humanity back to the Father. Amen? For these two spaces to meet, for these two spaces to overlap. Now, these two spaces are in conflict with one another. Right? Because God is perfect. Amen? And who of you know, we are sinful. And the earth is full of sin. Now, to understand the overlapping, that is why in the Old Testament you will read about the tabernacle. Right? And the temple. That is the place where these two spaces met together. God manifested himself in the Holy of Holies. Right? But before that had to happen, because of the sin on the earth and the humanity of just in people's lives, what did they have to do? They had to sacrifice a lamb. Amen. And in some way, the blood of that lamb absorbed the sin of the people, and that overbridged this chasm between God and man, and God met them within the temple. Are you guys with me? Does this make sense to you? Okay. So animal sacrifices was needed in the Old Testament for God to meet with his people, for these two spaces to overlap. Now, we all know along comes Jesus, right? And John tells us that God manifested himself in Christ Jesus and came to dwell among us. Now, that word dwelling is the same word as tabernacle. Jesus came to tabernacle with us. And essentially what John is declaring to us is the fact that Jesus is now the new temple. Jesus is now the new tabernacle. It is in Jesus, it is in Christ Jesus that heaven and earth meet together, where these two worlds overlap each other. All right? Now Jesus comes, and Jesus doesn't stay in that safe space, in this overlapping space, but Jesus goes into the earth, into the darkness, and he goes and teach the kingdom, preach the kingdom, and demonstrate the kingdom, bringing the light of the kingdom to the dark world. Does this make sense to you? Okay? Now, John, now because of this, Jesus is killed. Right? Now, if we go back to John, you can remember John saw Christ and he says, look, there is the Lamb of God. He's going to be slain for the sins of this world. And what John is telling us again is Jesus is not only the tabernacle, but Jesus is also the sacrifice. And now, I think if you go on, it is in the cross. Go on, next one. Sorry, this is like my best attempt. It is now in the cross, it is in Christ, where these two worlds overlap. Where God meets people, where God comes to dwell with his people. Now, if you remember scripture, what is the church is now called the temple of God. Amen? You and your life, it's now called the temple of God. It's a massive idea and truth if you think about it, that in your life, if you are in Christ Jesus, these two worlds, these two realms overlap and they collide. That the kingdom, didn't Jesus say the kingdom of God is within you? This is why the Holy Spirit came and why it's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He brings the kingdom and he presides in you. He now tabernacles in you and with you. And as you go into the dark world, you are now a light and a representation of another world. Not this world, but another world. This world of the kingdom, this world of heaven, this world of eternity. It's like, it seems like in the minds of many people today, everybody just wants to make it to heaven. And that's great, but the Bible doesn't make that the primary focus. The primary focus of the Bible is not to get you to heaven. It is to get heaven in you while you are in the earth. And to actually mean something for the kingdom, to go outside and be a light to the dark world. Are we getting this? Right? Isn't this amazing? This is the word. This is the This is the scriptures. This is what Jesus came to taught us. The manifestation of the invisible, the kingdom in you, through you, in your life, through you. I don't know about you, but I'm so many times I'm like, Lord, I'm so overwhelmed with what is happening in my own life that I just miss this. The why am I here? The why. This is the why. It is because of the kingdom. Now, one day, we are at this moment in redemptive history. You are living in a time where these two worlds collide, where these two worlds overlap, where you are called, where you are not called an engineer or a teacher from God's perspective, but you are called a citizen of heaven, and you've given a ministry of teaching, a ministry of being an engineer, a ministry of whatever it is that you do. But that does not define you, but that is your place to bring what? The kingdom. Amen. And I believe the Lord is just wanting to shift the scales where work is such a big part of our life, and getting that done to a kingdom perspective on my work. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be better at your work when you do it out of a kingdom perspective. All wisdom, all strength, all creativity comes from heaven. Amen. Like if you plug into that source, I mean, if you're an engineer, the creative stuff you'll come up with is going to be mind-boggling. But it comes from the Creator. You see the potential of what the Lord is calling us. Now, we are living in this stage. Now, there's an age that is to come where these two worlds will once again be one world, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. God is working again to that end. That is going to happen when Jesus comes back and he's going to establish his eternal kingdom. We are in this dispensation of grace where God pours out his life. And we've got few enemies in our lives. And those enemies are called things like busyness and the love of this world and the love of money. And we need to humbly approach the Lord for a renewal of our minds. And I'm going to tell you why. Can I still take a little bit of your time? We all grew up in a democracy, right? And that, to a certain extent, has hampered our understanding of kingdoms, right? If you go and read, I don't know if any of you have ever read the Constitution of South Africa. Don't worry about it, I haven't either. But I've read the first line of it. I downloaded it the other day. In a democracy, the power of the government lies with the people. The people decide who will be in charge. Amen? If you read the Constitution of South Africa, it begins like this. We, the people of South Africa. And then the Constitution is written of how we will conduct ourselves. In a kingdom, the people have no power. You don't elect a king. A king is born. A king is. Right? A king is born. So you don't elect your king. But this thing of democracy is very deep, because what this does to us, it gives us this thing that we now call human rights. This thing that I deserve better. I deserve this. How do you dare speak to me like this? I. And that is what you worship in a democracy thinking. And if you want to live there, you will end up worshiping yourself. In a kingdom, and what we have, so we say in a democracy, we have what? We have rights. I have rights. In a kingdom, you have no rights. You have privileges in a kingdom. You have privileges. And the big reason for this is, when you live in a country and a king comes and he takes over the town that you live in, you are at the mercy of that king. He will decide if you live or die. Now, we met a king, Jesus. What did we deserve? Hell, death. That's what we deserved. But what was given to us? Mercy. Mercy was given by this king and said, I'm not going to kill you. Actually, I'm going to take your place, and then I want you to come into my kingdom, become my son and my daughter, and rule with me. Isn't that amazing? So there's a lot of our thinking that needs to change when we approach Jesus. We don't get to decide the constitution of the kingdom. I only have my iPad with me now. This is our constitution. The king decides what our constitution will be. And for this reason, no church leaders, and I want to say this in love, can get together and tell our king what part of Genesis is only philosophy and what they can use and not use. That is dangerous territory. No church leader can get together and start calling right what God in his constitution of the Bible calls sin. That is dangerous territory. You don't go against a king and change the constitution. That is democracy thinking that the power lies with the people. The power does not lie with us. It lies with our king. It lies with Jesus. Right? Jesus did not come to earth to seek members of the kingdom. He came to initiate us into citizenship. It's a different concept. Jesus doesn't take members into the kingdom. We are born again. And some of you need to be baptized. You are born again. You don't need to go and pray about it or read any more Bible. This is the way the king calls us into his kingdom. Okay? We are born again into a kingdom, into a different government. Right? And in that government, this is the thing. In a kingdom, you don't own anything. In a democracy, you own. In a kingdom, you don't own anything. The king owns everything. He owns everything. The people, and includes the people. In the olden days, in a kingdom, when a king comes to a family and says, I want your daughter to be my wife, there is zip that you can do about that. Because you are not your own. You don't own yourself. The king owns you and your daughter. And you submit to that. That is why the Bible says, if the righteous rule the people, it goes flourish. It goes well with the people. Who of you know we have a good king? Our king is just. He's good. He's holy. Right? He pours out grace upon us. We have a good king. And this is why Jesus has an issue with lukewarm Christianity. Because it's this issue of ownership. If I give my life to Jesus truly, I do not own myself. I do not own the resources I have. I do not own my own time. I don't own anything. He owns everything, and I bring everything to the mercy of the Lord. The Lord, my Lord. The confession of the early church was not that Jesus is Savior. Now, Jesus is Savior, but the confession of the early church was that he's Lord. I think 16 times in the New Testament, you will see the referral to Jesus as our Savior. 432 times, you will see Jesus referred to as Lord. It is a kingdom concept that he wants to establish and bring to us. Now, like I told you, we don't, in a kingdom, I don't decide what the constitution or the rules of a kingdom is. Does this make sense to you guys? Is this messing you up a bit? Because that's what I'm trying to do. It's to mess up our thinking. Because we need to get out of a democracy. Everything is about me thinking. To start thinking the way the kingdom works. Because if we walk in the ways of the kingdom will manifest. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The question is, are you walking in the ways of the kingdom? And that is not only in church. That is in my home, with my marriage, with my kids, with my work, my time, my resources, everything. The king writes the constitution. Amen. He writes this. Now, I don't know if you've seen in history, but kings and queens don't speak a lot in public. And there's a reason for this. When a king speaks, it becomes law. The words of a king become a decree, they call it. And that is binding. That is why if a king speaks, the people gather together and we want to listen. Because whatever this guy is going to say now is going to influence me. If I want it or not. If he's going to say, listen, we're going to stop this. And I continue to do that. I have betrayed the king. and there will be punishment. So people are like, I want to listen. I want to hear what you're going to say. Amen. If you think about an example, think about Daniel. Can you remember King Nebuchadnezzar? He liked Daniel. He really liked him. But he stood up in public and he said that no man is allowed to bow to the other gods. They can only bow to him. Can you remember this? Right? And what Daniel did not bow to him, and that made the king sad. Right? Why? Because he liked Daniel, but he knows he has made a decree, which is a law, and he cannot go against his own word and now change it again for one man. Does it make sense? So if the Lord has spoken, God cannot change. He doesn't go against his own word. When a king speaks, it becomes a decree and it becomes law and it will happen. The words of a king. I love Psalm 44 verse 4. It says, you are my king and my God who decrees victories for Jacob. Now, this is the powerful thing about understanding the kingdom and tapping into the faith of the kingdom. Because if you understand what a king decrees will happen, and you take the word, Henta spoke about releasing the word, and you speak the word, you are repeating a decree, a law of the king, King Jesus. And who of you know all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him? So if I struggle with fear, and I take 2 Timothy 1:7, I said, I did not get a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You are repeating the law and the decree of the king. And that's spoken, any spirit that is not of the kingdom of light, which is from the kingdom of darkness, which is a big foe to the humanity because he attacks us with fear. No, you can't do this, you can't do that. If you decree that, you remind him of the authority that is above him that will one day punish him. And I think it's in Philippians 1, it even says that fear will come upon our enemies as we stand in faith and start decreeing what the king decrees. Does this make sense to you? If you decree, I've been set free, that's a law. If Christ has written it, it's like it's a spiritual law. It's a law of the kingdom. Now, we live in a time when there's conflict between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. We live in a time, ons kan nie draadsitters wees nie. We live in a time where you cannot be lukewarm. You cannot live in the kingdom when you like to, or live outside of it when you like to. I really believe there's something to be understood within the concept of the kingdom of God for each one of us to get this. And I want to tell you this. It is God's good pleasure to give it to us. He wants us to understand. He wants us to have knowledge. And he wants us to empower us to live as people of the kingdom and establish his kingdom on this earth. Does this make sense to you? So in this kingdom we have, and I want to give you a key that I want you to practice. We're out of time. So I want to give you a quick key that I want you to practice in this coming days, from this time on, okay? In a kingdom, like I told you, we don't have ownership of ourselves. We are the owners. God owns us. And if we understand that, we understand Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Don't worry about the stuff the pagans worry. Because it's the king's responsibility to look after his subjects. My Father knows what you need. And he will give it to you. Don't go for that. Go for my kingdom. Seek my kingdom first. You trust me. Because I belong to this good king, I trust this good king. I have faith in this good king. This good king will look after me because I am not my own. I'm his. I'm his possession. He is a good father, a good king, a just king, a holy king. He will look after me. What is my responsibility? Seek first his kingdom. But we all know the pressures of life, where we get scared and we stop trusting and we try and do stuff on our own power, trying to just get everything under control because we've got bills to pay and da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm speaking about, right? As soon as we fall into that thinking, we fall into these traps set for us. And the traps is the love of money and the cares of this world And the parable of the sower teaches us that that chokes the word of the kingdom inside of us. Right? Does that make sense to you? Okay? So we've got this thing about ownership. God owns us. He owns me and you. And I love Psalm 24. I'm just going to quickly read this to you. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." God is the owner of this world. A cattle on a thousand hills, he owns that. We don't own that. We don't have rights to the things the king owns. We have privileges, right? If I get that, I'm like, Lord, the air I'm breathing right now doesn't belong to me or to the earth. It's God's. And by his grace, he's granting us the privilege of life right now, just to breathe, right? The clothes you are wearing comes from sheep. That's God's sheep. The technology you are holding in your hand, the houses we live in, it's all built by resources that belongs to Jesus. He's the owner of that. And he has granted us so much privileges in this to actually use this to live. That is why the Bible continually talks about praise the Lord. If you remember Psalm 100, right? We quote the piece that says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Just before that, it says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And for that reason, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." For that reason, because he owns us. This king has been merciful to us, and he has granted us so much privileges. Amen. And I want you to practice this one thing of thankfulness this week, of praise this week. If I understand the fact that I'm not my own and belong to him, he has poured out mercy and grace on me and has given me so much privilege, I cannot help but saying thank you. Thank you, Lord. There's something about gratitude that attracts the favor of kings. The gratitude of people. Huh? En ons ken het, ons sikkel baie keer met ons kinders as hulle moan oor alles. As jy net soos, you know, dankbaarheid, dankbaarheid, dankbaarheid. Maar jy, as jou kind net toe kom en hy is net dankbaar, hy is soos, wow. Dit voel sommer net vir jou, ja, ek wil amper vir jou meer gee. Wat wil jy nog hê? Type van ding. Reg? Thankfulness. In Psalm, and I want to end off with this, Psalm 22. It says, this is a psalm that Jesus quotes while he is on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? You remember this, right? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I can cry day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. That is almost the darkness in which Jesus went in. And maybe there's some of you that feels that way today. You just don't know what's the way out, what to do next, where answer is going to come from. And then the psalmist continues, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them." There's three words I want you to notice that the psalmist is trying to link together in the praises, trusted, and just below them, delivered. Enthroned in the praises of his people. And I want this morning just to ask us in humility that we come to Jesus and just give him praise. It is when you do not know what to do, if you do not know what the next step is, it is in your praising him that he's enthroned in your life. That praise follows trusting, and that trusting, what is coming next? Your deliverance out of your situation. But it begins with this one thing of knowing that I'm not my own, that I am Jesus. That is why Jesus says, "If you are mine and you bring your plans before me, I will direct your path." This is why Jesus says in the scriptures that I will make everything to work together for good. And there's a condition to that promise for those who love him. God will not necessarily bless your plans. But if you come before him humbly Say, Lord, I want to do this. Will you direct me in this? And God has led you to a place you can, in great faith, stand and say, I know, and I can praise my Lord, and I can trust in my Lord because my deliverance from the problem is close because God sent me here. He led me here. He decrees victories to Jacob. Does this make sense? But it's in our following of him. So that is, there's this space. And I don't want to make an altar call for this, but each one of us must go and take stock of our lives. And is my life truly in his hands? Is he really in control of you? Is he really in control of you? Is he really in control of what you have and your time and where you want to go and what you want to do with your life? Is it him? Now, I want to tell you this. There might be sacrifices to make, but there's great gain. There's a kingdom to be gained, a king that is good, a king that wants to bless us. And I'm telling you now, I think when the goodness of God comes into your life, it's better than any plan that you can think of. Must up. I hope this helps you. I want you to practice this as we continue, humbly before Jesus. Praise him. Thank him. Always. Through that, the scripture says he is enthroned. And that is what is needed. Christ is king. Amen. And he is a good king. I want to ask you, if you have a desire to know this, to know the way of the kingdom, I just want to take a moment for us as a house. And I want to ask you if you will stand. And I'm just going to, if you have this desire, and if you don't, please don't. You don't. There's no obligation. Please don't stand because somebody other stands. Just stand if that is your conviction, if that is your love, if you really want to know the king and his kingdom and understand the way of the kingdom. Because I really believe that this is the word that the Lord is just releasing in us and through us to live as sent ones, to be a light in the dark world, to get this, to get the way of the kingdom. Moses prayed this. He said, Lord, show me your ways so that I may know you. This is the end. This is what we're living for, to know him, the king. Amazing grace that this king that could have thrown us out into total darkness calls us not only subjects, but now he calls us friends, sons, daughters, to rule with him, that we can represent him and the kingdom. Lord, our prayer this morning is show us your ways. Show us the way of the kingdom, Lord. Teach us the way of the kingdom, Lord. We will in all humility come, Lord, and say that we know about this earth and the way this earth works. We know about the schemes of this earth, Lord. We know about how hard this world works to look after themselves, God. Lord, and we want to declare today, we acknowledge that we are not our own. We are not our own. We belong to you. You have ownership of us, Lord. We are your bond servants, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are a good king, a just king, that you say it's your Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, Lord, that you say you know what we need and you will provide for us, God. Lord, I pray, even for some of us that has taken wrong turns, I pray that almost that you will cause like a GPS to kick in, Lord, and redirect our paths to the paths that you have called us to, in Jesus' name. We as a house, Lord, humbly want to come before you and ask, teach us your ways. Teach us the way of the kingdom, Lord, because we want to know you and represent you. Father, I pray for grace, for understanding in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now for grace on every person that is hungry to understand your kingdom. Lord, I pray for the awakening. I pray almost, Lord, for things to click into place, God, for connections of the scriptures and knowledge that we have of the scriptures to connect to the context of your kingdom, for understanding to come to this house in Jesus' name, for revelation knowledge to come to this house and to every person here, Lord. Father, I thank you that we can decree over us that you have not given this house a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind, Lord. Father, we thank you that we can decree for every trouble and problem that we are facing. Doesn't matter what, Lord, you are the answer, King Jesus, that we come humbly before you and ask your answer and your way in this, Lord. Father, I pray that in this, Lord, you know, if you come before the Lord in humility, you position yourself for grace because he pours out grace on the humble. Lord, I pray in this position that you will pour out grace. Lord, I pray that smiles will come back to faces again, Lord, in the midst of difficult situations. Lord, thank you that we decree over this house that your kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, I pray that right now, even Holy Spirit, you will start showing us where's the places that we must unplug, where we think worldly, do worldly, unplug and plug into the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for this time of redemptive history that we are living in. We want to thank you, Lord, for every promise that you have given, that you have spoken and decreed, Lord. We want to say as a house, we trust you for this, Jesus. We say, Lord, we want to live for the glory of the King. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen and amen.